And I don't know how much thought you all give that, but for me, as a poor black kid growing up in Kansas City, it means a lot for me. So what we're going to do that night is we're going to thank the University of Alabama. We're going to thank the Bryant family. And then we got these honorees, that's the first guys to come. Because they had to pave the way so that Coach Bryant could take a chance on a little kid from Phoenix City. And with that scholarship came opportunity for me. And it needs to be broadcast. That night when we do the event, we're going to have Ozzie Newsome. Sylvester Croom, y'all familiar, y'all probably back when these guys are playing, right? Well, you sit and think about, what's been overwhelming for me is I think about the how many people or former players Coach Bryant helped.
Wilbur Jackson,
John Mitchell, all of those guys over last year we've talked to and we've gotten on board. Coach Saban's on board. He was the first guy I called, Coach Saban. Well, no, Wilbur was the first guy I called. Then I called Coach Saban.
You got a son?
Sir?
You got a son, man? Coach Saban. I bet he does.
But anyway, so I'm sharing this because I want to talk about four things about, I'm going to talk about what Coach Bryant instilled in us. I'm a father. When I came to Alabama in 1979, I'm number 8 of 9 children. Both my parents had about a fourth grade education, and nobody in my family had graduated from high school. And I get to the University of Alabama, and we're in camp 2 weeks. Right? And you know, back then, a real 2 days in office. I told them they babysit now. You know, back then we did 4 weeks of actual 2-a-days. Full gear, full practice. Anyway, about 2 weeks in. Now, if y'all can remember that 79 team won it in 78, right?
Mm-hmm.
And coach had a bunch of guys coming back. And so that team was really low because we win it in 79 again. So can you imagine, here I am, I'm 5'9", 155 pounds, anyway, soaking wet, I'm playing corner, I'm a left corner. So I come in after practice and on my locker was a pink sticky note. Remember like yesterday, Coach Brown won't see you. That's what I had on that note.
Did you keep it?
No. I'm scared as all get out. I gotta go see Coach Bryant. I never had a one-on-one with Coach Bryant. So, you know, first thing I'm thinking, man, what have I done? And I go up, Coach Coliseum, go up to Coach Bryant. I walk in and let him know. Let him say, just have a seat, he'll be with you in a minute. Long minute, right? It's a long minute. Door open up, I walk in, Coach Bryant, sitting there at the desk, and he had on Chesterfield. He was putting it out in his ashtray. And I don't know if any of you ever been in his office. He got a black and white checkered couch that's in the Bryant Museum. Well, when you sat down on that couch, you didn't have no legs on. Your butt hit the floor. You were looking up at it. Coach Bryant, Jeremiah, you can play here. When my turn comes, I'm gonna play right. His next words were, "You can play this year, man." You talking about it? I tell folks, I said, "Man, I walked in 5'9", I walked out 6'9". Imagine the confidence that gave me. So when you talk about that that kickoff play against that kick, that tackle on the kickoff in 79 as a true freshman. See, I played, that's how I played. I played as, I lettered as on special teams. Coach Bryant didn't know that August. He was had a little skinny kid in there that was going to make that game saving tackle. None of us knew it, but that was my defining moment. And from that play on, man, I knew I belonged. And this is what I like to share with people, that whether you're a father, you're a business owner, professor, whatever it is you do, I say there's four things great leaders do. The first thing is they invest. They invest in their people. You know, Coach Bryant took that 15 minutes to talk to me. He invested in me. I was getting ready to walk out the door. He said, Jeremiah, that door right there is that don't. So that door is always open. You ever have a situation, don't you hesitate to come knock. So what was it when I left that meeting, how I felt about him? Not just a coach, but a what? A friend. A lot of times in our relationships, business, professionally, relationally with family, they need to know we care. Amen?
Amen.
They need to know. You know what? I walked out of there knowing Coach Bryant loved me. And you know what you'll hear from every, I was talking to Woodrow Lowe. Anyway, all these guys we're going to invite back. I've called him, talked to him. We sit there talking, we got ready to hang up. He said, man, you know what? Every black player tell you that played for Coach Bryant, that he loved him. And so I don't say this lightly, but what I'm sharing with you, you can look at some of the, I'm saying it because when you look out, when you look at some of the racial tensions, sports has been one of the greatest blessings for our country.
Absolutely.
With integration, racial relations. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can tell you for me. So that meeting I had, I'm 18 years old, when we invest in people, we influence. Excuse me, I wasn't a big guy, but you know what, every time I lined up, I believed I was the biggest. You couldn't have told me any different, but the measurable said what? You can't get the job done. I have not met anyone. I was sitting talking to a couple of people here just eating lunch, and we got talking about Coach Bryant. So I've never met a person. I've never met another coach that could influence the way he could influence. I've never met another coach that could make you think you was the best since sliced bread. That's where I played. Ladies and gentlemen, 4 years later, I'm an All-American. Never had it. When I lined up on that corner, man, Coach Bryant, I believe. Jeremiah, you can play at the University of Alabama. Coach, you think I can play? Well, I can play. That's what people need to hear.
Yeah.
They need to hear you believe. They need to hear we believe. Amen.
Amen.
That's what people need to hear. I was if you know, you kept up with my youngest son is an actor. Yeah, he walked on at Alabama in 2010. You can catch more NCIS Los Angeles on Sunday nights if you watch that show. Anyway, the movie Woodlawn, he portrayed Tony Nathan. So I'm sitting there, I go over to Hensley and watch them shoot that movie. And I'm sitting there, they put all of us on a van. We had to drive over to Legion Field, that's where the headquarters were. Put us on a van, they bust us out to Hensley, and I got off the van first. It's a van full of people. Now you know Coach Bryant said, now man, you know me and the ladies, you open the door for them. You know, so the ladies on the van, Rick, so I turned, I'm helping them down the van. You know, John Boyd plays Coach Bryant, right? Well, they're taking a break. I don't know that, and he's coming to get on the van to go back to lead the field work. I help all the ladies down, and I turn, and the first person I see is John Boyd. And I get the most eerie feeling, because he got the hat on, he's standing there, man. I'm like, oh my goodness. Cook Ryan and Rob from the dead, oh my goodness. And it just, I started, he says, are you Caleb's father? I said, yes, sir. He said, and I'm looking up at him, he says, well, I'm John Boyd. And he said, when he found out who it was, he said, I don't want to go back and leave the field. He said, come on, tell me about Coach Bryant. So we didn't talk for the next hour and a half on his break, and he just wanted to know about Coach Bryant. And so I sat there and I watched them shoot that movie that night. And so my son Caleb is in his first movie, right? He has zero acting experience. Zero. And I'm watching, if you watch, anybody watch the movie? Anybody see that movie? Well, okay, the scene we're watching is Coach Bryant's coming to the house with his suitcase to recruit Tony. He's gonna stay all night. That's the scene, right? And so they're shooting that scene, and I'm saying, my son, who has zero acting experience, is with an Academy Award winner. And he ain't stumbling over his life. He knows this stuff. He just really, I'm like, how in the world? He's about 20 years old at this time. I'm like, how's he doing this? So I asked him afterwards. I said, how did you, weren't you just nervous as all get out with an Academy Award winner? And, how did you have the confidence to believe you could be the lead actor in this movie? You never acted before. He said, Dad. He said, don't you know my nickname? What you call me all my life? His nickname is Champ. I would take him with me. He's just like I'm speaking like most times in church, I just take, and he'd be in the back seat, he'd talk me all the way back home, gotta keep him company, keep him awake. He said, Dad, all you ever called me was Jim. And I started thinking back, why did I start calling them that, and what did I learn it from? Came from Coach Bryant. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a product of leadership. That leadership invested in me. That leadership influenced me. Made me believe that I was the best. That's why 4 years there, I tied the record in interception. They gave me my bowl game interception. I believe I'd be on top of
you. You would be on top.
I can tell Antonio Lane that.
You ain't know that.
So, I'm going to give you two other things that I feel like what Coach, so Coach Bryant invested in me. He influenced, he made me believe. See, so, I'm in Alabama, 79, 88. So, and I'm, so what's, what's going on in my house is alcoholism and drugs. That's what I grew up in. But Coach Bryant believed in me, Mr. Oak. Jeremiah, you can get the job done. And he started influencing me. When we influence people, we're impacted. We're making a change, amen?
Amen.
2 years ago, we buried my mother. Name was Mary Cassidy, May 2019. Coach, the investment Coach Bryant made, the influence made. In 1983, I was a third round draft pick. And the first thing I did with my signing bonus, one of the first things is, my mother who had been drinking, she was in her early 50s, we put her in a rehab. And so 30 days later, she came out sober. Came to know the Lord, met the Lord in that place. For the next 34 years of her life, she never took another drink. And so my children got to see the greatest grandmother in the world. I'm talking to you about influence now. When we invest, we can influence people. That means we and from that we impact. We lives change because of that. That's the greatness of Coach Bryant. There's not pretty much a day go by that one of the principles that he would talk to us about in those meetings, I don't still live by Tuesday. So what we do in our ministry, what I do, this will be my 20th year as the chaplain at the University of Alabama. So I've been going back in a volunteer position for 20 years, serving our football players and Coach Saban. And it's one of the greatest joys of my life. I tell people this, I'm eternally indebted to the University of Alabama and the Bryant family. So George and I were talking about this morning. George Pugh had 5 children to graduate from the University of Alabama through the Bryant Scholarship. I had 6.
I had
3.
Ma'am? Well, I had 1.
You had 1.
The other 2
All 6 of mine. I want y'all to give that to George now. What we was talking about is where we come from. The blessings through Coach Bryant in what he did to help black players. So my children, their lives are totally different from the way they grew up versus how I grew up is two totally different worlds. And one of the reasons we want to do this event is because, you know, the scripture says that when God does something mightily for us, that we're supposed to have a memorial stone. He said, don't forget. You read the good book, amen, that's what it says. So what we're going to do in December, we're saying we're not going to forget what Coach Bryant did. You know, Ozzie Newsome is the first black general manager in the NFL to win 2 Super Bowls. He's an Alabama guy. I was sitting and sharing all of this with Paul Feinbaum is having his life document. He's going to be a documentary on Paul Feinbaum. It's going to come out somehow. Well, I'm sitting there talking to the producers that's going to produce that. I tell them about this event in December. Their eyes got that big. They're like, what? I said, do you know some of the guys that you bringing back that individualized as a documentary? So that's what we have at the University of Alabama. We have a unique situation in that you look at the last 50, 60 years, people like myself, Coach Bryant was so, I'm working on some things, hopefully that you have a back, Rick and I talk about in the next year, so there's a couple of books that we're going to be working on. And what it's going to be called is More Than a Coach. Because Coach Bryant was more than a coach. He was a mentor. He was a father. I can remember I'm a freshman. After that Auburn game, I'm one of the first ones to run and get on the bus. I jump in my, I jump, shout, jump out, run, I get. And this is my first encounter with Miss Mary Harmon Bryant. I ain't never seen her. I go up them steps, and she's sitting in the front, on the front seat, the front row, and she said, hey, Jeremiah. You know me? I naturally knew who she was based on, but I had never met her. And she knew my name and stuff. Just kind of caught me off guard. And so I spoke to her and I came and I just sat behind her and Coach Bryant. I sat down in the neck of the seat. So I had never seen Coach Bryant with Miss Mary Harmon Bryant. So he gets he gets on the bus. And he said, so he come and he sit down by her, and I see a whole other side of Coach Bryant I had never seen. He was a gentleman. He was a hug. I'm like, I learned from that. Coach Bryant, you know how we were, man. He come down out that tower, man. It was, oh my goodness. Y'all remember Coach Moore? God rest his soul anyway. Tell y'all a story about him. Coach Bryant come down at that tower one day. Woo! Good old hot September. Coach Bryant makes his way out that tower. And you know, when he did that, man, it'd be like, the players, it was like Moses, parting the Red Sea. Joke, you was getting out of the way. You didn't want to be in arm's length of Coach when you come down there. Anyway, my roommate was Eddie Lowe, linebacker player. We went to high school together. And So when Coach Bryant come, his foot hit that bottom step, buddy. You better be, you know, better not be in the arms loop. And Eddie Lowe starts running from me. True story. Eddie's running, and he says, "Jeremiah, Coach Moore passed me." I asked him, "Coach, where you going?" And Eddie used this word. I ain't gonna use it now. He said, "Coach Moore said blank. I'm just as scared as you is." But he just had that awesome presence about him that he could shake up. He walked a room, he shake it up. But so when I saw him on the bus with Ms. Mira Harmon, I saw a totally different side of Coach Bryant as a gentleman that I had never seen. And so what? For me, him being more than a coach in all these other areas, I believe I'm in ministry today because of Coach Bryant and my mother. Men, two kind of, you've been meeting men, two kind of people in the world. Givers and takers. Make sure you're a giver. And that's why we do what we do back at the University of Alabama with our football team. I'll tell you this about our team. And what blessed me tonight was the prayer. But all of the championships we won under Coach Saban, what people don't know is behind the scenes, we have strong spiritual leadership like you wouldn't believe. Strong, every championship team, every team you've seen to get to that championship game, we've had strong spiritual leadership from the players. That Devontae Smith class, Devontae, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jude, them receivers, all them guys were a part of our chapel program. I'm just telling you. O.J. Howe, I can start naming them. Just you'd be amazed at how many of them guys were a part of our spiritual leadership. And that's really the foundation for the dynasty that we call it, that Coach Saban. But guess what? It was that way when Coach Bryant. It was the exact same. I can start naming Stanley Sheehan, strong spiritual leader. Keith Pugh, strong. These guys were seniors when I was a freshman. I'm looking up to them. I can just tell you, run them off like our fullback back then. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Billy Jackson.
Steve Whitman. Yeah. I'm just naming these guys because these guys were seniors when I was a freshman. Strong spiritual leadership. The only thing you pray, we keep strong spiritual leadership on that. And Coach Saban has done a great job of, really a lot of them are already that way when they come. Bryce Young, top of the line. He's like Tua. You know, Tua, when Tua was being recruited, one of the first things he did was, "Let him meet me. Hey, this is the spiritual program we got in place," because Tua, that was important to Tua parents. Same thing with Bryce Young. Yeah. So we have a great situation there, and these things that I'm talking about, what great leadership does, they invest, they influence, they impact, and they inspire. And Coach Bryant did those four things for me. And I try to live my life by him, even to this very day. That's really what I wanted to share with you. I'm going to open it up for questions if that's okay.
Yeah. Anything you want to do, back, you want to come back in September, you got my permission.
Okay. We got that down on the calendar.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions for me?
Yeah, but how'd you pick your number?
I didn't. They gave it to me.
When did that sit here?
And but now what they did do was let me know who wore that number. They educated me on that. Murray Leg. You gotta go watch some Murray Leg film. You need to realize who wore his number. So Murray Leg was a hard hitting.
It sure was.
Fell in there. So I tried to wear that number with a lot of honor.
Murray's been here to speak as well.
Okay.
What, tell us about the 82 Penn State game before the game.
It was great. How do you know about that?
I know a lot.
You
You don't know Rick Evans.
No, you don't know Rick Evans.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, he got all the original Bear Bryant shows.
Anyway,
I'm a senior Navy too, and we what Penn State's number one.
Y'all were good. Like, y'all no Penn State.
They were like number one. Yeah. We were like number five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we low hotel up there. That's where we stayed. Anyway, we sitting there getting ready to have pregame. The first and only time Coach Bryant ever sat at my table was that one. He had never sat in 4 years I've been here. He never sat at my table. I was doing something. My roommate Eddie Lowe, I didn't even see Coach Bryant. He just nudged me inside. And just, Coach Bryant sitting on, you know, around to Coach Bryant sitting on all these. Morning, Ben. Morning, Coach. You messed my appetite up. Oh, no, why you come sit? All these years now you come sit down. In my last year. He never sat at my table. You know, a lot of times he sit with the quarterbacks or whatever. Because they go for a walk. Golly, man, I don't even feel like eating now. And within Coach Bryant went from 0 to 100. He pushed that chair back and said, and he started with the he said, I got cleaned up. I see in it. He said, all doctors, trainers, coaches, players, you don't have your talent, get blank blank about. Get out. He cleared out the whole room, everybody. He said, don't come back till you have your talent. Everybody. Because we didn't usually have to have them on eating. We got units. He knew it was people that had that got on the bus that didn't have the ties on. So guys were literally at that hotel door knocking on people's doors. Bar and boat, bar and ties. Sir, ma'am, I need a bar and tie. I can't go back in the meeting. I can't go back in the meeting if you ain't got no town. Well, I had my room. I just zipped up that guy to put it on. I wasn't about breaking no rule. Well, Rocky Colburn was the guy that didn't have a tie. Y'all remember Rocky Colburn?
He coached here.
He coached here.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so I'm facing the door where Rocky got to come in. Coach Kroom is sitting like right here. I'm looking at Coach Kroom. Well, Rocky had on a light lime green golf shirt. I like that. He had went and borrowed a big black velvet bow tie like that. Coach Kroom wasn't the first one to see me. I was sitting there like this. Coach Kroom, I'm like, where's Coach Kroom's? Was getting up under the table. And I saw him, Coach Bryant sitting right here. Now, I saw Coach, when I looked up, Rocky walked through the door and he smiled with that big bow. I took my napkin and stuck it all the way to the back of my throat. With your claw map. Acting like I had put something on the floor. I was trying to get it off the floor. Just, I laughed, man. I laughed so hard. Anyway, that's how Rocky went to the game. He got off the bus with that big old black belt the whole time. To me, that shook everybody up to a point where I had never met anybody that knew what to say, when to say it, how to say it, to get a team ready to play. That kind of what you the story you heard that exactly. It broke the tension in there.
Yeah. But anyway, we laughed
and Alabama blew them out.
Any others?
How can I find out more about the event that you've got coming up at Ross Creek?
CastileFoundation.org. CASTILLE foundation.org. We're going to be advertising. You can actually go on there and find out a little bit. I think we may have a video or two on there where we just kind of, it's really, if you, just to give y'all a little insight, right now, I think we're going to have Dabo Sweeney back. We're going to have We are Coach Stallings maybe some. We're looking to have all of our former head coaches come back. Talk to a couple of them that said. But anyway, if you have Rick, you got my info.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an interest, you need to let me know, because the way that we are actually doing this is corporate. We kind of, to take care of the finances of it, we've gone the corporate route, so we're not really gonna have tickets for the public, if that makes sense, what I just said. Paul Feinbaum is gonna be our MC. So I can just maybe do a favor to you if you got some people that y'all want to come, because the way that we're doing it is just through the corporate route, which we got Alpha Insurance is one of our sponsors. We're meeting with Coca-Cola. I was trying to get Coca-Cola and Golden Flake to sponsor the whole deal.
Yeah,
I should.
We're going to meet with Coca-Cola next week, President of Coke, John Sherman. So we don't have, we just don't have individual tickets right now. But I think we may be able to have a few based on these companies after they let us know how many people they're going to bring.
Is Golden Flake with you too?
No, sir. John Sherman has told me he will work on that. But when we meet with him on like August 8th, something like that. But we pretty much have got, it's going to seat 350 people, is the seating capacity where we're doing it. We're doing it at Ross Bridge and on a Saturday night. And that's kind of between after the SEC championship and before the championship. That's what we're going to do.
Tell me about the leadership conference you're going to have in Albertville next month, because two of the Bryant players will probably be there.
Two of the who?
Guys that play.
Okay, what are their names?
Richard Cole. Richard's not was an All-American. He's the one that started Christian athletes.
He may be a little bit older than me then.
Yes.
Okay.
They were there in the mid-60s.
Okay.
And when my husband was. And Don Schenkels, both of those are up there. They're looking forward to hearing you.
Yeah, I do a lot of mine is my leadership principles is just from what I learned playing under Coach Bryant. Kind of a little bit like tonight, telling stories about what true leadership. I thank God that I got a chance to play, and I tell all leaders have to have the ability to love. If you love people, you can lead. That's what it just astonished me at how successful Coach Bryant, I didn't know this, but in the decade of the 70s, Coach Bryant was the first coach to win 100 games of the decade. Anybody know that? I didn't know that. A reporter told me.